Welcome to Tori Mechanachiomi. My name is Adina Schmimmen. Join us today, Wednesday, August 16th at noon for a pre-Rosh Chodesh Elul live Zoom presentation with Mrs. Debbie Fox, launching the Women's Initiative Journaling Journey with daily self-reflective prompts through Yom Kippur. Sign up for both the Journaling Journey and the Yemei Ratzon Ideas and Inspiration programs at ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schkup, and today we'll continue our study of Yov's elaborate response to his friends, examining the 13th chapter. In the previous chapter, Yov reacted brashly to Tzofar's blatant recrimination that Yov is not as innocent as he pretends and urges him to beseech God's mercy. While Yov had earlier contended that the Creator has withdrawn from this world and has relegated man and beast to blind natural law, he conceded that at times Hashem does intervene in history, especially to save humanity from its own folly. But most of the time, God seems to be transcendent, exposing people to what seems like random acts of nature, regardless of their virtue or vice. Consequently, we witness tzaddik v'ralo, the suffering of the righteous, and concurrently we can witness callow and cruel people thriving serenely. Iyov doubts there is hashgacha pratit, but agrees that there is hashgacha klalit, when God exposes the corruption and cruelty of human leaders and brings about the fall of empires and the rise of new nations. Nonetheless, he mocks his friends' attempts to justify Hashem's actions and inactions, and is frustrated with their attempts to make sense of his calamity. He is particularly perturbed at Tzofar's philosophizing. As he opens this chapter, he reiterates his frustration that instead of consoling him, his friends keep mouthing pious platitudes, which he brushes away, saying, "What you know, I also know. I'm not inferior to you. Yet I desire to speak to the Almighty and argue my case before God." He then admonishes his friends for false piety, comparing their attempts to flatter God at his expense. Ve'ulam, atem tofle shaker, rofei elil kulchem. As for you, you pander falsehoods. As he refers to his friends as rofei elil, witch doctors in modern Hebrew, who peddle worthless and even harmful brews. It would be wiser if they remained silent, rather than attribute a perversion of justice to the Almighty. Then in the 7th verse he begins, Hale'el tedabru avla, velo tedabru remia, hapanav tisaun, im la'el tarivun, hatov ki yachkor etchem, im kehatel be'enosh tehatel ubo. Will you speak wickedly on God's behalf? Will you speak deceitfully for him? Will you show him partiality? Will you argue the case for God? Ah, well, it would turn out if he examined you. Could you deceive him as you might deceive a mortal? Malbim recalls that Eliphaz and Bildad contended that heavy punishment can come even for a minor sin. And in trying to justify why a God-fearing man like Yov would suffer, they turned God into a capricious tyrant. Tzofar contended that Yov suffers because he's not as virtuous or as righteous as he seems. Like so many so-called tzaddikim, Yov must be essentially evil, stained from birth. Yov countered by arguing that a just God cannot expect someone with an evil disposition and warped genes to choose to do good. Consequently, Eov admonishes his friends, insisting that God prefers honesty, howsoever blunt, to mealy-mouthed psychophancy, warning them that they would be held accountable. Hocheach yochiach etchem, im beseter panim tisau. Halo seto tevaet etchem, upachado yipol alechem. Zichroneichem mishlei efer, legabei chomer gabeichem. He would surely call you to account if you secretly showed partiality. Would not his splendor terrify you? Would not dread of him befall you? Your maxims are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. And then, as if brushing aside any protesting comments his friends are about to make in defense of their positions, Eov hushes them and explains why he would rather contend with the Almighty. In the 13th verse, he says, "Hacharishu mimeni, ve'adabra ani, ve'yavor alai ma." Keep silent and let me speak. Then let come to me what may. Eov almost dares God to strike him for speaking so boldly and so frankly. He's ready to take the consequences, whatever they may be. He's long past fearing death. Alma esa psari bishinai, venafshi asim bikapi. Rashi interprets this verse as follows. For what should I bite my tongue to keep silent? I would rather put myself in jeopardy and take my life in my hands than torture myself trying to be silent. He then continues, Henyaktilenu lo yachel. In this verse, there is a difference between the k'tiv and the k'ri, and they suggest that the first clause of the 15th verse is a double entendre and reflects Eov's conflicted feelings. The writ is Lamed Aleph and may render this verse as a fatalistic statement that reads, though he will strike me, I'm hopeless anyway. Unless, as the Rambam suggests, we read this as a rhetorical question. Even if God strikes me, will I not continue to hope? In contrast, the oral homonym is lo, lamed vav, and would render the meaning as, quote, though he strikes me, I still have hope in him. Thus, this verse is commonly translated as, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Rashi prefers this interpretation because of the following verse, which unequivocally proves the depth of Eov's faith in Hashem, whose signature is truth, who would surely vindicate the innocent. Gam hu li li Yeshua, ki lo lefanav chanef yavo. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no false flatterer would dare come before him. Ramban adds that these lines indicate that Eov may have doubts about God's providence in his lifetime, but is firm in believing that in the world to come, he will be able to stand before the divine throne and his innocence will be affirmed. Eov believes that his body may be subject to blind fate and is no different in life and death than that of another animal. But his soul is divine and will endure and come under God's wing for protection. Eov then challenges anyone to prove him wrong, demanding in verses 18 and 19 as follows. Hinena arachti mishpati, yadati ki ani etzdak. Mihu yariv imadi, ki ata acharish ve'egva. Now that I have made my case, I know I will be vindicated. Who's the one who could argue with me? For then I would be silent and die. Iyov then turns to address God directly, begging that Hashem reveal himself and pleading for a chance to make his case that his friends can witness. Ach shtaim al ta'as imadi, az mipanecha lo asater. Kapcha me'alai harchek, ve'ematcha al teva'ateni. Ukra ve'anochi ahane, o adaber ve'hashiveni. Kama li avonot ve'chata'ot, pish'i ve'chatati hodieni. Only grant me these two things, God, and then I will not hide from your face. Withdraw your hands from me, and stop frightening me with your terrors. Then summon me, and I will answer. Or let me speak, and you reply to me. How many wrongs and sins have I committed? Show me my offense and my sin. Ramban addresses the puzzling statement, then I will not hide from your face, when Iyov has been complaining all along that it is Hashem who has hidden his presence from humanity and from Iyov, as he so boldly asserts in verse 24, why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? Mitzudot explains that Iyov is asking for two things. Number one, withdraw your punishing hand and give me reprieve from pain so I won't be afraid of any further agony, so I can collect my thoughts and face you in judgment. Ramban suggests that Iyov asks for a chance to vindicate himself, preferably in this world. But if not, then he begs for a chance to face God in the next world. And then, in an impassioned plea, Iyov says in the 25th and 26th verse, Ha'ale nidav ta'arots, ve'et kash yavesh tirdof, ki tichtov alai merorot ve'torisheni avonot ne'uhai. Would you tyrannize a wind-blown leaf? Would you chase after dry chaff? That you record bitter accusations against me and bequeath me the sins of my youth. Aware of his vulnerability, his powerlessness and imperfections, Iyov nevertheless asks God, is it seemly for the omnipotent to punish me so severely for youthful indiscretions that I may have committed and have long since forgotten? Rashi adds that merorot can indicate bitters or instances of rebellion from the language meri. Iyov accuses God, you record instances when I defied you, but why aren't you considering the good that I also did? Iyov closes this section, bemoaning that Hashem won't even give him the chance to correct or improve, having bound him in suffering and pain so that he has become useless. You have put my feet in the stocks and stand watch over all my paths. Imprisoned in agony, Iyov's flesh, quote, wastes away like something rotten, like a moth-eaten garment. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezul Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.